Welcome into the Sports Objective. You're listening to our NCD1 Baseball Preview, Volume 3. And on this episode, you're going to hear from Charlotte head coach Robert Woodard, High Point head coach Joey Hammond, Jim Chester, who's the head coach of the Gardner-Webb Running Bulldogs, and Justin Hare of Campbell. Let's go ahead and get things underway, and let's go to that conversation that we had with the head coach of the Charlotte 49ers, Robert Woodard. Objective. We appreciate everyone tuning in whenever and however you're watching or listening, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. And remember, our show can be found pretty much anywhere podcasts are found, including but not limited to Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and Spotify. We're just over 3 weeks away from the start of the Division I college baseball season. Right now on our NCD1 baseball preview, we're very excited to be joined by the head coach of the Charlotte 49ers, Robert Woodard. Coach, welcome back.
Thanks, Bo. It's great to be here. Appreciate you taking the time out to talk Charlotte baseball.
No doubt. We appreciate your time this morning. And, Coach, following year one, you executed a major roster overhaul, and, man, did it pay off in a big way. 40 wins a season ago, and one of the better seasons in program history.
Yeah, thanks. No, I mean, it's with COVID in 2020, we only got to play 17 games, and so last year was really our first full season. And, but, you know, we really spent that, you know, the whole COVID year working our tails off, trying to really build as strong of a foundation here as a coaching staff as we possibly could. And like you said, we had some really tremendous players come into the program before last season, really the fall of 2020. I mean, I think we brought in a 28-player recruiting class, and, you know, you got guys like Austin Knight, transfer from Tennessee, ends up being Conference USA Player of the Year. Jack Dragham comes in and plays 61 games at shortstop. Aaron McKeithen comes in, and he's a 16th round draft pick, catcher behind the plate amongst so many others. And it was about as much fun as I've ever had being in a dugout from start to finish. And, just a lot of special memories from last year's team.
Yeah, no doubt. That team accomplished so much. And, looking forward to 2022, talk about some of the changes you made. I know you have a new addition to your coaching staff. You chose to go in a different direction in terms of your hitting coach. You had Bo Robinson. He is a Charlotte guy, but you now have brought in Phil Sebuhar from over in Arkansas. He had been with the Razorbacks and was actually a native of that area.
Sure, yeah. I mean, Bo had an opportunity to go become the director of player development at NC State. Obviously, a first-class program. Coach Avent, his coaching staff, as everyone saw last year, they're doing tremendous things. So he joined their coaching staff, but, you know, he's an all-time, you know, legend of a player here, and his number's honored here, and was just a heck of a coach here in his time here. And as you said, you know, this August, you know, Phil joined us from Arkansas, and he has just hit the ground running with really implementing a lot of things that are exciting on the offensive side, on the swing side, on the approach side, the mental side, that, from what we saw this fall against our own pitchers. And we open up preseason tomorrow with scrimmages, and, we're really excited about. So just a lot of really good energy around the offensive side of the ball right now for our club.
When you really take a look at last year's club, I think you probably start with a guy like Austin Knight, All-American by multiple publications. What a year he had, and I had the opportunity to see him play several games in person, and what a player.
Yeah, he's a program changer. He amongst other guys, on the club last year and back or coming in this year. I mean, there's certain players, I think, this is my 12th year coaching Division I baseball. There's there's players now, whether it's the Colin Morans when I first started coaching, or the Michael Bushes, or JB Bukowskis's, et cetera. You know, there's certain guys you coach where you just kind of, you just have this sense that they're changing your program. They're taking it to new heights. And, you know, Austin is certainly that for us. David McCabe, certainly that for us. And Will Butcher is certainly that for us. So, and there's so many other guys, honestly, that it's just, as a coach, I just try to relish it and enjoy it. Every single day at practice, every day in the weight room, every time we're in the dugout together, because, you know, as we all know, as coaches, I mean, you only get so much time, you know, with those guys, and you just try to make the most of it.
You know, so you referenced some of those other guys that played a significant role on the 2021 club. If you would, you know, very quickly, I mean, take us around the horn. Start with the infielders and tell us how things are looking going into a preseason practice.
Yeah, as far as heading into this year, you know, we've got some familiar faces. As I mentioned, David McCabe, he played 37 games last year and hit 14 home runs, and you know, so he's stronger, he's healthier. Play discipline, we feel like, has gotten to another level. He's a year older. I think he and Austin Knight are two of the best players in the country. You know, Austin was a Golden Spike semifinalist, and I think if Dave had played, you know, hadn't gotten dinged up, which you can't really control, I think he would have been, you know, in the running for being a Golden Spike semifinalist, if not even a finalist. So, you know, those two guys, I think you'll see both of those guys at third base in some capacity this year. We've worked Austin can play shortstop, but we've worked him out a lot at second base. Because we've had the addition of Josh Madol, from first baseman from UNC Greensboro, who just he torched our pitching staff this fall. I think he walked at a 21 strikeout, or walk to strikeout was like at a 21-5 clip this fall, with about 90 at bats. So, and he's a plus defender, left at first base. So I think you'll see Josh Madol a lot at first base, which frees us up to have some options as far as moving guys around, with McCabe at third and Austin Knight at second. And then we have Jack Dragon back, who played 61 games at shortstop, you know, for us. But certainly can't, you know, leave out Nate Furman, who has elevated his game across the board. I think he said, you know, he might be the all-time hit leader in the Valley League this past summer, and have – you know, probably the best plate discipline and swing decision I've maybe ever coached. And the makeup is off the charts. So, and he's worked himself into being, you know, a really, really good infielder. So, you know, those five guys are probably going to be the mainstays on the infield defensively. And the thing that we like about it is, you know, Madol's a left-handed hitter, Furman's a left-handed hitter, McCabe's a switch hitter, and then Dragon and Knight are both righties. So, it gives us a lot of different looks in the batter's box and as far as matchups as well.
Shifting over to the outfield, you know, tell folks what you return, and then, you know, who may be coming in that could see significant time.
Yeah, I think outfield, especially corner outfield, is probably where, you know, we've worked the hardest at in terms of just like our defensive skill work, in terms of trying to really push guys to get better. I mean, I think we have Jake Cunningham back in center field, who he might be, you know, he might be the best prospect on our team. He's a 23 draft eligible center fielder. He's 6'4", but looks 6'5". Takes him about five strides to get to first base. The power is making a jump. He's just an incredibly hard worker who has really put himself, I think, in a position to have a really breakout sophomore year for us. And he's an exciting center fielder. And then, you know, the corner outfield spot, I think, you know, that's kind of where we like all of our outfielders as far as in the batter's box and what they bring to the table. It's just about making sure that we play lockdown defense, as we like to do here. And, you know, I think but I'd say Cam Fisher and Will Butcher, we're really giving them opportunities to try to be everyday guys out there in those positions. Both of those guys have the ability to hit for significant power. And they've just they're tireless workers in terms of becoming, you know, really good corner outfielders. But, you know, Hunter Baker and Blake Jackson as well, I mean, they're right there. And both of those guys are left-handed hitters who can hit the ball out of the yard. And they might cover a little bit more ground and be a little bit more polished out there in the outfield. So our outfield group is really versatile. It kind of is just going to hinge upon whether we want to be more offensive or defensive with our approach.
Moving over to your pitching staff, I mean, tell us about the weekend rotation. Obviously, you got 3 weeks before you play, so things can change. But as of right now, on here in the last few days of January, how are things looking?
Yeah, I mean, we've gone through about 3 weeks of, you know, almost 3 weeks of skill work here in a full fall. So, you know, I told our pitching staff this. I mean, my sophomore year of college, I didn't have a role. I wasn't a closer. I wasn't a starter. And I ended up by the end of my sophomore year of college being, you know, pitching on Friday against Georgia Tech on the weekend. So, you know, everybody, you know, there's nothing set in stone. We're just getting in the thick of the competition as far as the scrimmage and full team practice segment goes. But, you know, as far as what we've seen so far, I think guys like, you know, Cam Hansen, Chat State, transfer right-handed pitchers, about 6'4", 230, 5, 240, can really pitch. There's a lot of polish there. We're excited about him. We have a left-handed pitcher returning in Spencer Giesting, who, again, he's pitched in Cape Cod this past summer for the Harwich Mariners, pitched a ton for us on weekends last year and is up to 94 with really good off speed and, you know, might be our best athlete on the pitching staff. So Spencer is certainly going to be a huge part of our pitching staff. Quentin Martinez is a 6'4 left-handed pitcher from Appalachian State that we were really excited about as well. He's been up to 94 and just really tried to – and he really commands the fastball. So, you know, I'm excited to really see him compete. We returned Matt Brooks, who, you know, probably pitched – we didn't have the result that we wanted there in the regionals, but he threw about, you know, 8 innings of one-run ball against a really good Maryland club to give us a chance to win in a regional and amongst many other games. I mean, he shut out Old Dominion who might have been the best offense we saw last year here at home. And we've got him, you know, we've got Brooksy back, who's about 27 years old. This is his sixth year in the program. You know, so we're excited about him. You know, Will Lancaster is a left-handed pitcher transfer from USC Upstate. Again, another one of those like kind of 6'3", 6'4 lefties. Velocity is not quite the same, but he's a real crossfire pitchability lefty that has pitched as good as any pitcher here with us since he's been here. So, you know, listed a number of guys. You know, we've got East Carolina transfer, AJ Wilson, who's a left-handed pitcher, who might have some of the best off-speed, and his fastball's played up since he's been here for us. So, you know, we're excited about him as well, and we've given him an opportunity to kind of compete in that starting role. But again, I'm sure there's three or four guys that I haven't even mentioned that are going to compete this entire preseason and have real shots at starting at the weekend.
And overall, as far as the depth of your staff, you know, how do you feel about your bullpen and how many, you know, proven arms do you have going into the season?
Yeah, I mean, I feel great about this pitching staff. The thing that we really tried to emphasize as far as, you know, in this 2021 recruiting class that we brought in. We brought in, I think, 26 players. And I think we brought in 15 new pitchers. So we really tried to put an emphasis on transfers and junior college players that we felt like, you know, we felt like had a little bit more upside on the pitchability with enough stuff. So, you know, last year we set as a program, we set the all-time strikeout record in Charlotte baseball history, I think, with 557 strikeouts, which I think was the previous record had been set in 1999 with just under 500. You know, so we like our ability to put guys away, but you know, I think for us, we really tried to emphasize developing, recruiting, pitchability, you know, to the best of our ability since last summer. And we really like the returns that we've seen just in the fall and early here in the preseason. So as far as bullpen goes, you know, I mean, we've got 29-year-old Colby Bruce, who's in his sixth year. He's not actually 29, but, you know, he's been in his sixth year. And I think a lot of people have kind of forgotten about him. But when we got here, he was our best pitcher. And he was preseason All-American relief pitcher for us on the 2020 team that got cut short. During COVID, while he was training, you know, he ran into an elbow issue in Tommy John, and he rehabbed all of last year. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, kind of forgot the fact that we did what we did last year with without our best pitcher, and we've got him back. So, so Colby will be there in the bullpen, but again, not opposed to, you know, building him up and using him in a different role. But I would expect to see, you know, if we have a one-run lead opening day, I'd expect to see him in the game in the ninth inning. But, you know, we've got some other guys, and Evan Michelson, who's a really strong right-handed pitcher from Jacksonville, Florida, who fastball can run up there to 96, 97 with a good breaker and split. So, you know, he's been really impressive for us. Tony Rossi, another Florida junior college transfer, has been really impressive for us. Colin Kramer, big left, is about a 6'5" left-handed pitcher from Northern Iowa Area Community College, and he's been lights out since he stepped foot on this campus, and one of our hardest workers. So, just really excited to see what he can do in either the starter, the reliever, or starter role for us. I mean, again, just another one of those really versatile guys. But we really like, you know, and then we got two strike throwing righties that are really polished, and Paxton Thompson and Michael O, that we feel like are gonna you know, really pitch some very valuable innings for us as well. So again, you know, I'm leaving out guys. I'm Hale Sims and Gus Hughes, and, you know, two more righties that we feel like, you know, they're in their second year in our program, and their pitchability and stuff have made jumps. Gus Hughes might have one of the best breakers on our pitching staff, and Hale Sims, you know, he's added a new breaking ball while working with Coach Miney and some of our pitch design sessions in the fall, and it's made a jump. So, yeah, you know, I'm listing a lot of names, and I'm leaving a few guys out because, like I said, we start team practice tomorrow, and we're going to learn a lot more the next 3 weeks here in the preseason about our club.
A couple more things for you, Coach. Taking a look at the schedule, it's always in this region, as we've talked in the past, you'd have to about try to not put together a good schedule, but a tremendous slate for your club. I think there's 9 teams that were in the NCAA tournament a season ago, and you start things off. Neat opportunity for your club to go down to Florida to play a non-conference weekend for the first time in over 25 years, and play 3 tremendous programs like Louisville, UConn, and USF.
Yeah, I mean, right out of the gate, here we go. There's no tiptoeing into the 22 season for us. We really you know, by design, we really want to try to continue to you know, schedule harder and harder as we can. We think that approach is going to serve us well as far as being ready for conference tournament and the NCAA tournament. And as you mentioned, I mean, when you're in Charlotte, North Carolina, it's you don't have to look very far to find good opponents. They're all over the place. So we'll go down and play in the Florida Sun the first 3 games of the season against, as you mentioned, Louisville, UConn, and South Florida. But then we come back and play about an 18 game home stretch here at the Hayes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a tough schedule, but it's a schedule we're very excited about, and gives our fan base a lot of opportunities to come out and see our guys play.
No doubt. And before we move on from the schedule, I did want to call attention to, I know you have a 3 game series with the Big 12 foe there at Hayes, and that is West Virginia.
yeah, Coach Mazey's club, I mean, they're extremely talented. They've got a ton of really good arms on their staff this year. So Steve Sabins, the recruiting coordinator, is one of the best recruiting coordinators in the country. And so they do a really great job up there. And I think West Virginia's, don't ask me how I know this, but I think West Virginia's alumni base, I think like outside of the state of West Virginia, I think Charlotte, North Carolina might be, one of the biggest for them. So you combine our fans with their fans, it should be a pretty raucous weekend, and that's what you want. You want to be playing in those types of games all year long.
And lastly, Coach, before we wrap this up, I want you to plug your first pitch dinner. I know you have that coming up on February 11th, and your keynote speaker. And he's someone who obviously knows a lot about your program, and that family means a lot to this region.
Yeah, definitely. We're excited about it. We're still working through kind of, some restrictions of sorts, I guess. That event is just a really special event for our program. It's an opportunity for alumni and former players to come back and fans, to really celebrate Charlotte baseball, its history, its traditions, and get to know the new team. So it's a really exciting night, and our coaching staff is, we're very thankful just in these times to even be able to put something like that on. So it'll be great.
And you have the Grand Slam Club, right, for supporters of the program. And looking at that on the website, and some pretty neat incentives. Obviously, those folks just love Charlotte baseball, but they get some nice things in return for their support of the program.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that the Grand Slam Club had been a staple for Charlotte baseball for a number of years prior to even our coaching staff's arrival, and so we've just tried to continue it and build it up and try to really use the Grand Slam Club as an opportunity for former players and fans and anybody that cares about Charlotte baseball and wants to see us be successful, have a direct impact into our club and into our program. So the Grand Slam Club, that goes directly to everything from improving the quality of our player development, technology, our team travel, our nutrition station and fueling station we have here at the stadium, just team meals, all types of things that really just enhance the student athlete experience. So very grateful and very appreciative for every member. And once we get through, we're getting over some of the supply chain hurdles, but we've got some cool stuff that's headed out to the fan base here really soon.
As always, Coach, we appreciate the visit, and best of luck throughout the 2022 season. We look forward to having you back on down the road.
Thanks, Bob. I really appreciate your time and talking Charlotte baseball, and we all appreciate all you do for covering our team and our sport.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. Our North Carolina Division I baseball preview is underway. And, snow and ice is here, Coach. So we know it's about baseball time, right?
Coach, can you not hear me?
I lost you there. I'm sorry.
No problem.
We'll, yeah, I got you right now. Sorry.
Okay. Just one moment. We'll do that again.
Okay. Sorry. It does break out.
It's no big deal since we're not live, since we're just recording. All I have to do is cut off the beginning here. Just one moment.
Okay.
Could you hear me at all, or was I totally silent? Or
yeah, no, it was choppy, and then it just totally got silent.
Okay, all right. Welcome into the Sports Objective. You're viewing us all on YouTube, Facebook Live, as Twitter. You can also hear our podcast pretty much anywhere podcasts are found, you know, be it Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or, you know, pretty much anywhere one can find podcasts. Snow and ice are in this North Carolina region, so that means it must be baseball time. And right now, very excited to welcome in as we kick off our North Carolina Division I preview, the only new head coach in the state of North Carolina, and that is High Point University's Joey Hammond. Coach, we appreciate your time this afternoon.
I appreciate it. Appreciate you having me, Bubba.
Absolutely. Appreciate you coming on. And, you know, right off the bat, and you know, you're a native of Maryland, but you're no stranger to the state of North Carolina. You spent the last 7 years over in Winston-Salem at Wake Forest on Tom Walter's staff. Prior to that, you were at Westchester Country Day School in High Point. And you also spent your college years playing at Charlotte for the 49ers back in the mid to late 90s. So just talk about your path in the game and, you know, talk about, you know, just your venture here to this head job at High Point University.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the opportunity to kind of explain that a little bit. It's been a unique path, and looking out the window and seeing a bunch of white stuff on the ground reminds me of home a little bit, being that I'm from Maryland, as you said, you know, it was a pretty natural progression to come down south. I think most folks that live in that mid-Atlantic or Northeast have a natural desire to want to come to some warmer weather, although it's not that the case right now, but that's kind of how it started with me to get into North Carolina, and went to Charlotte. I played there under Lauren Hibbs for 3 years, and I met my wife there. So the rest is history as it relates to me not going back to Maryland, and stayed in North Carolina from that point. You know, and I loved it. It became home pretty quick. You know, I was fortunate enough to play professionally for 11 years, and every offseason I stayed in this area, and you know, been kind of landlocked from there, and been fortunate enough to continue to do what I love to do, which is coaching. And I know I've been blessed to be able to do that at a, you know, at the college and Division I level at that, and be able to stay close has been a true blessing for sure.
Talk about your path into coaching. Is that something, you know, when you went to Charlotte to play back all those years ago, is that something you knew you wanted to do then, or did you decide that you wanted to go into coaching maybe more a little bit later on in your professional career?
Yeah, actually a really natural, fairly smooth transition. You know, I was a player, and I think as most players, you know, your five-year-old version of yourself dreamed to playing in the big leagues, and I was no different. And you know, as I was playing and played the majority of the last 7 or 8 years of my career was in Double A and Triple A, and so knocking on the door, it was always my dream to continue to try to get to the big leagues, and that's what I wanted to have happen. But I kind of noticed towards the tail end of my career, when I was maybe having some of the best statistical years of my career and was able to stay healthy, I started to have a little shift in the passion. I started to really enjoy being able to spend time with maybe younger prospects and be able to help them, you know, I guess elevate their game and move on to the highest levels. And so I think I realized at a certain point that I really enjoyed that relationship and that mentorship, so to speak. And naturally, I think like a lot of professional players did in the offseason, I would come home and do, you know, private lessons and small group lessons and things. And, you know, that was really simple for me to jump right into coaching as soon as I got done playing, just because, you know, it was a shift in passion for me. And it was a way to continue to stay in this game.
Now, your first coaching job, I know you spent five very successful seasons at Westchester there in High Point. You won three state titles, and you sent probably, 15 or so players onto college baseball. But just, was that your first coaching job?
Yeah, it was. Really fortunate there, too. A great situation. It's a first class, you know, high school with you know, some of the best high school facilities in the state for sure, and had a tremendous amount of support from you know, the headmaster of the school to the athletic directors. I had two during my time there, and other coaches, assistant coaches. But the most important thing, as you know, you only win games because your players are good. And to your point, we had a high number of players that were able to play, you know, college baseball, high level college baseball, and even a professional, and Donnie Sellers, who's still playing in the Blue Jays organization. And so we're really fortunate, you know, really good players tend to make coaches look halfway decent.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, take us back 7 years or so now, when you had the chance to make that jump to Wake Forest. Obviously, Coach Walter has had so much success there, and now you obviously had a great deal to do with that success over the last several years, especially, you know, on the offensive side of things. Much has been made of the numbers that the Demon Deacons have been putting up. So if you would just talk about that opportunity to get to the Division I ranks as a volunteer, and I want to talk more about that later on, just as far as some big picture things with the volunteer coaching in Division I baseball and baseball in general. But just talk about that path to Wake Forest and your 7 years at Wake.
Yeah, great. You know, it starts and ends with Coach Walter, as you mentioned. You know, that was the centerpiece of the entire thing. You know, I'm forever indebted to him. We were able to, you know, create during recruiting process, honestly, with Donnie Sellers to that point, and others, we've been able to kind of start a relationship there. And I remember having a dinner with him. He was kind enough to have a dinner with me maybe 2 years or so before I even went to Wake Forest, where I had expressed some potential interest of getting into the next level and asked for some of his advice in the routes, various different routes we could go, and just expressed that if an opportunity presented itself, that I'd have interest. And, you know, fast forward a couple years after that is when an opportunity presented itself at Wake, and much to my benefit, you know, Coach Walter reached out and offered it to me. And it was a great time for me to shift and transition with where I was with my family and such that I was able to jump into that. And to that point, you know, you jump in as a volunteer coach, you never really know what you're getting into. I knew I had a lot to offer to the game, but you know, not all volunteer positions are created equal for a lot of different reasons, which I'm sure we can jump into. But the main draw here was that it was really easy to work with and for a man that you respect, a man that is of high ethics, and then equally as important, a man that believed in me and gave me, you know, the sense of pride, honestly, to be able to work with our players on a day in and day out basis. He made it a point to make sure that we all checked our egos at the door, and you know, maybe my first year I kind of was hesitant to maybe stepping on you know, Coach Salento, Bill Salento, the assistant associate head coach now, step on his toes from an offensive standpoint, and Coach Walter had took the time to pull me aside and said, look, you're here for a reason, and you don't need to worry about stepping on people's toes. You need to, you know, give what you got to give, and let's help us make this thing better. And so I was so fortunate and blessed over my 7 years, completely fulfilled, totally happy, amazing situation. It was going to take a really awesome opportunity like HPU to come along for me to even consider to leave, because amazing staff, amazing place, amazing university with great opportunities, you know, day in and day out.
You talk about that success that you and the staff had there at Wake Forest. You take a look at it, and I mean, you were on the brink literally in, I think, what, 2017 of Omaha. So just talk about that experience and, you know, everything you learned from Coach Walter as well as the other assistants there, and how that prepared you as well as that head coaching experience you brought from the high school level, how that, you know, has readied you for that HPU opportunity.
Yeah, no, great. A special team, no doubt. And again, as I mentioned before, it was, you know, a lot to do with the players. We had a lot of, you know, future big leaguers on that team and first round draft picks, and so that certainly helps. But that team had a special kind of magic to it, right? Because, you know, since then we've had other first round draft picks that would come through Wake Forest, but just couldn't seem to recapture. And a lot of that is because it's the ACC and it's a challenging league, and. But we just couldn't capture that same magic that we had in 2017. And so some of the things that you kind of take away from that is just try to identify what buttons were pushed and what that character and makeup of the team, whether it be in certain, you know, small details, or whether it be leadership or decisions made from a coaching staff to help guide and direct this group of young men. To your point, on a brink, you know, a matter of a few inches of a foul ball down the left field line away from going to Omaha and took the eventual champs to a 3-game series at their place. And again, a few inches away from eliminating them and going on and potentially winning the whole thing. So you take those experiences and you try to unpack them. And as much as we know that it has a lot to do with the players and their skill set, you also, you know, you never really try to recreate that magic, because that's just one team. But you try to take some of those lessons and the character of that team and do the best that you can to build that same magic with each group that you have. And it's a difficult task, no doubt.
So you've been on the job there in High Point roughly 7 months now. So give us the Cliff Notes version of those last 7 months, obviously recruiting, but then also fall baseball, and, you know, getting everything implemented in terms of your culture and schemes and so forth.
Yeah, so I don't know if there is a Cliff's Notes version. I can just tell you it comes fast and furious, right? And to this point, or to that point also, you know, Coach Walter, I owe a lot to him and Coach Salento, for that matter, to help prepare. You know, I knew I was getting into a situation that I hadn't really experienced before. No fault of mine, but I hadn't really experienced it. And the baseball part, as we all know, it's typically the easiest part of this. It's the day in and day out logistics, the scheduling, and at the end of the day, how, you know, when a difficult decision comes up, and by difficult I mean kind of a, you know, a right versus right decision, one where either one is right, it's just which one is better for the program and the direction. At the end of the day, it ultimately falls on you as a head coach, and I embrace that challenge, but. You know, it comes at you. And so, yeah, it's been a lot. We've been super fortunate. And a lot of this, it has to do with the fact that, again, tremendously blessed by being able to put together a staff that I'm so proud of and thankful for, of a mix of hunger and youth and veteran, you know, folks that have been there, done that, that we've been able to hit the ground running and tackle the recruiting and really, you know, hammer out this incoming class for next year, went a lot faster and maybe better than I had even anticipated, to the point in which we've got a head start on our 23 class, which we've already got the core nucleus of that group committed as well. So we've been grinding, we've been working really hard, all the meanwhile, really trying to, as you said, instill our values, right? We're a value-based program that we want to build this off of some key themes, and energy is one of them. One of the first challenges I've had, and anybody who's ever been around me knows that that's a prerequisite. And my challenge is for all of our players and our staff to match my energy every day, and they're not going to do it, but that's what the expectation is. And if they can come close, then we're going to be in great shape. And so, you know, those things are fairly simple to get installed, but you never really know where it lands until you do it day in and day out, and you experience some success and failure that comes with it. To these players' point or credit, they've done everything that we as a staff have asked of them. And I'm so thankful for that. They're hungry and they're excited. And it's a great core here that we can really build something around. And, you know, I'm not naive. It's going to take some time. There's some resetting that needs to happen, but I'm in for the challenge, and our players, more importantly, are up for it as well.
You mentioned that core. Tell us about some of those players. And I don't know exactly what you return, but just talk about some of those players that make up that core. And we'll start positionally.
Yeah, positionally, listen, there's a really good core of position players that are returning. I think, you know, I think it's not a surprise. That's the strength of the team. You've got some veterans, some guys that have been here, Sam Zajac, Brady Parise. These guys have been around. You know, Brady's coming off a hip injury, hip surgery over the break, but he's doing a great job right now. Veteran, you know, the experience that these guys bring day in and day out is great and is huge for us. But we've got this core of other position guys that are really going to help us, from Blake Sutton as a catcher, Cole Sinksank hit 340 last year's first base, Adam Stewart in the middle of the infield holding it together, and Peyton Carr was a true freshman last year, led a team in homers and hit over 300. So, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about. You add that core to some young incoming freshmen, and then some transfers that we were able to secure in a short period of time to become more athletic. We added, you know, Cam Lee and Javon Fields, some outfielders that elevate our athleticism, and veteran, you know, some leadership as well. From a position player standpoint, that is, it's been really fun to watch as we've kind of try to cut them loose and turn them loose and allow them to be even more aggressive and try to do damage from an offensive standpoint. That's where my background is. It's what it comes from at Wake Forest. That's what we did. And I'm not trying to replicate the exact same type of a team, but you can't run away, you know, from your stripes and who you are. And so we've been fortunate to have a roster positionally that can match some of the things that I would classify as a strength of mine.
You mentioned some of those talented incoming pieces. You talk about the things that those veterans had proven, but some of those incoming pieces, you know, who are some guys that, you know, could potentially, you know, arrive onto the scene pretty quickly in this spring?
Yeah, so I mentioned Javon Fields is one. He's a transfer from Towson. He's just a tremendous leader, you know, athletic player who's been there and done that. He's had success at Division I level in the CAA conference, and so we're going to rely a lot on that. And he provides some stability, you know, in the outfield and in the lineup as well. And we've got a junior transfer, Cam Lee, who's really, you know, really established himself. Came in, quite frankly, in full transparency, with no guarantees of even, you know, on the roster. And this guy came in and has done nothing short of been amazing to earn an opportunity to go out and play every day, to go from, you know, so it just kind of speaks to what he's been able to bring to the table, to go from a guy who wasn't really guaranteed an opportunity to make the club, for that matter, to a guy we're talking about, you know, potentially playing every day. So that just speaks to his work and what he's been able to do. We were able to add, you know, a pitcher and some help in that area. Lou Stallone is a transfer from Arkansas. You know, we got some help there from Arkansas pitching coach Matt Hobbs, who was a former, you know, co-coach of mine at Wake Forest. And so, you know, was able to reach out and talk to Coach Hobbs a little bit about Lou and his makeup and who he is and the opportunity that we present ourselves here. And so Coach Hobbs was able to communicate to Lou the type of person that I am, and the staff and the you know, culture that I want to build. And we've been fortunate to have Lou. Lou came in and did a phenomenal job in the fall, and we expect big things from him too. So, you know, huge helps across the board, you know, through all of this. And so we've been really, really fortunate to have a core group of these guys to come in that can really make an impact and add to this core of hungry young players who really want to, you know, change things and get things turned around.
You talk about Lou coming into the program. So let's shift over and talk about the pitching staff. What are some general things you can tell us about your staff? And then let's dive into the weekend rotation. And, obviously we're still very early on, so that could obviously change here in the next few weeks between now and opening day.
Yeah. So again, we bring back a lot of pitching, and a lot of it is got to continue to develop, and we've done a really good job. Miles Miller's our pitching coach. He came from Towson. He's formerly at Butler, and a veteran coach who does a phenomenal job meeting each one of our pitchers with where they're at and helps guide them to where we want them to go. And all the meanwhile can do that with varying styles and degrees. You know, we're not going to be the program that's going to adhere to one particular approach or process to be successful or great. We feel like there's a lot of different ways to do that, and we have to have some diversity amongst our skill set as a staff to be able to help reach everybody on our team. And so Miles has done a great job between him and Chris Maness, who's our volunteer coach who works with our pitchers, and Gavin Wayman, director of operations and development, who's a former pitcher for Miles at Towson. We've got a three-headed monster of some pitching coaches that have the ability to capture through various different styles and personalities, for that matter, the vast majority of our guys on our staff. And so, listen, again, they know they needed to get better. They need to improve. We need to throw more strikes. We need to stay healthy. And we need to have clearly defined roles. Those are all things that we identified when getting the job that needed to take place. There's some talent. There's no doubt. There's some frontline arms, some big arms. But to your point, this season's about to start here. It's a true meritocracy, right? If you can come here and you compete and you earn a role, then in a lot of respects, this is the most refreshing opportunity in college baseball, or at least in North Carolina, being a new staff here, that nobody came in to this with hand-wrapped Friday night starter or closer status, because I didn't have any reference point to really go by. And so all jobs and opportunities were earned in the fall and will continue to be earned in this early part of the spring. And that's exciting.
Coach, let's take a look lastly at your schedule. Obviously, being located where you are, and you have so many quality programs throughout this region. You play the likes in a three-game set with the College of Charleston. Pittsburgh, an ACC program, comes to Willard Stadium. West Virginia out of the Big 12 comes to Willard Stadium. You open things up down at Jacksonville, and then obviously you're going to play a lot of those in-state ACC programs throughout the year. So just talk about your schedule and then the Big South Conference Challenge.
Yeah, absolutely intentional. One of the first orders of business, obviously, I needed to get the staff. But listen, coming from my only real experience in college baseball was at a Power 5 school in Wake Forest, and I understood what that meant, and I understood what that felt like. I also understood on the other end of that, as a Power 5 coach with a Power 5 team, that oftentimes you would go in and play against a mid-major program that are really good. But many times you had this you kind of went into it with a little bit of an advantage right off the bat, just because of who you are and the way you carried yourself and what your expectations were, and maybe what the mid-major programs thought of you as a Power 5 school. And so having known that and witnessed that firsthand, part of the first objective, call it naive or whatever, is we need to carry ourselves like a Power 5 program in a mid-major body, so to speak. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to put yourself out there and challenge yourself in scheduling to play against these teams, to prepare you for our challenges in the Big South Conference. And then hopefully in future, in the immediate future, to be able to prepare you for what a regional experience looks like. And so, again, absolutely intentional to load our schedule up with, a ton of Power 5 schools, a ton of top 50 to a top 100 RPI schools. We wanted to get on the road. We wanted to experience what that looks like. And we wanted to be able to play some of them at home as well, because the expectation isn't just to go play them and rub elbows against them. The expectation is to go beat them. I love Coach Walter, and we respect the mess out of each other, and it's going to be awesome to get to play against those guys, but we're trying to beat them, right? And that's what the expectation is, and I'm sure they feel the same way. And so we made that very clear with our team, and we want to communicate that to recruits and everywhere, that that's what our expectation here is. And if that's scary, and that's something that you're afraid of, then this isn't the right place for you. And the sooner we know that, the better, because that's what the expectation needs to be moving forward. And to that point, it's because the Big South Conference presents its challenges in and of itself. You know, any team on a weekend in college baseball has the ability to run some guys out there that are going to be challenging, no matter what. And there's some established programs in this league, no doubt, that have put themselves in the national spotlight for good reasons. And we want to get in that same category. We want to get in that and compete against those guys and be considered in the same light. And I don't think that's unrealistic or unreasonable. And that's absolutely the expectation.
You talk about programs within the Big South that have, you know, been on that big stage in the NCAA tournament and turned some heads. Right here within the state, you have Campbell. Everything that Coach Hare's done down there, went to a regional championship at East Carolina, and then also last year held up very well and really put a scare into Mississippi State down in Starkville.
Yeah. Again, you know, phenomenal what they've done from where Coach Hare started in that program to where they're at now. It's a blueprint. It's what, you know, and again, I say that it's not that they're trying to hide what they do. It takes really good hard work, right? And a lot of effort. And there's a lot of pieces that need to be put in place. And I, you know, again, it's a blueprint, but we need to be HPU. We can't be, you know, try to be Campbell or try to be Upstate or try to be Gardner-Webb or try to be any of these programs that are in here. We need to be the best version of HPU we can, because, you know, we have a lot of things that we have to offer that maybe other places don't. And maybe we have some other shortcomings that other places have advantages on. And the bottom line is that, our job is to elevate this program to be the best that it can be. We think we can do that. And places like Campbell are a great example of how it can be done on a national stage in the Big South Conference.
Speaking of the Big South Conference, you had the opportunity to host a Big South Conference tournament in downtown High Point at the beautiful Rockers Stadium. So just talk about what that means to your program.
Yeah, well, it means we got to be good enough to make the tournament. That's the first thing it means. But no, it's phenomenal. It's awesome. Listen, we just got a complete total field renovation where our field turf is now covered with snow, but it's all in place now. And it was under construction the entire fall. And so we, you know, with the relationship we have with the folks at the Rockers, and the connection with the general manager there, who's got Wake Forest ties, and I've known him for a while there. We've been able to spend a lot of time there in the fall to get our scrimmages and practices at that facility. So we know firsthand that it's a great facility. It's an awesome opportunity to go play games. So we're fortunate that it's here. Again, it really only benefits us if we're good enough to be in there. And again, that's the expectation. Our players know that. We're not going to shy away from that. And we fully hope and expect to be, you know, competing in that. And it stands to be an awesome opportunity for our program.
Coach, as we record this, you know, we're essentially a month out, just under a month out. So, you know, tell folks how they can follow you on social media, and then also that HPU baseball program on social media.
Yeah, no. So there, you know, I think we have all of them. It's not challenging to find on Twitter and Instagram, and obviously just on our website as well. We do have an analytics account as well that hopefully we'll be able to throw a lot now with our partnership and installation of TrackMan. Now we have a lot more data that we'd like to kind of put out there. I think it gives an inside piece, some more information for fans to get connected with this new age of analytics and data, and I think that's going to be a really neat opportunity for folks to dive into and follow that, and just follow our program in general. We're going to do a really good job. We've got a great team of folks here that dive into the social media aspect of it, and it's another area that we need to get better at as well. And we're working day in and day out. We want to be able to utilize those tools to express, you know, how fortunate we are with things like our facility and our equipment and our players specifically. We want to highlight those things so that it can bring some attention to HPU, you know, across the region.
Well, Coach, we certainly appreciate you carving some time out for us on this afternoon. Best of luck in the 2022 season, and we look forward to having you back on sometime down the road.
Anytime, Bubba. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Welcome into the Sports Objective. We appreciate everyone tuning in whenever and however you're watching or listening, whether it's on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. And remember, our show can also be found in audio only or podcast form pretty much everywhere podcasts are found, including but not limited to Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and Spotify. We're just over 3 weeks from opening day, or exactly 3 weeks from opening day, and right now on our D1 baseball preview for the state of North Carolina, we're joined by the third-year head coach of the Gardner-Webb Running Bulldogs, Jim Chester. Coach, we appreciate your time this morning.
No, thank you. Awesome. It wouldn't be the start of a baseball season without speaking to you.
Always enjoy our chat, and you know, we look forward to talking about your Diamond Dogs this morning. Year one, an abbreviated year one back in 2020. You went 8-8 last year, 29-23, and had the best finish in program history in the Big South, 27-13.
Yeah, last year was a great year. Unique type group, and 2020 really set the stage for 2021. I mean, we were set to lose 12 seniors, and if I remember correctly, 8 of them came back, which were really impact players for us, and really have set the groundwork and had some success last year to let the guys on our roster know like what it takes to play a high level at a high level baseball.
Yeah, you take a look at last season. You had a little bit of a slow start, but then you really played tremendous baseball down the stretch. I think you went something like 26-14 after a 3-9 start. You did play the likes of Georgia and Campbell right out of the gate, so a challenging start. So just talk about a little more on the season on a whole and the way your ball club developed.
Yeah, I think that definitely we went and again we started the year. We opened up with Wofford, who was the SoCon regular season champs, and they were tremendous. Then we had Georgia and then Campbell. And so, I think a lot of it had to do with being battle-tested, had some adversity early on. Did have, even with the returners that we had some new that was meshing in. And, it's, again, it's the guys probably get tired of hearing me say it, but, the whole year, the season, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So that was just, the first leg of the marathon, and just kind of finding our footing, so what we needed to do. So it was, like I said, it was a good run last year.
Let's take a look at this year's ball club as you enter 2022 and start with your pitching staff. I know you return a couple of tremendous arms.
It's interesting, I'm going to be biased here when I say this, but I thought we had the best arm in the country last year in Mason Miller. Again, that's a coach being biased. He went in the third round of the Oakland A's and was, tremendous, tremendous, tremendous talent. We lose him. And I think that from top to bottom, our staff is in a better place than it was a year ago. Do we have guys that are 97 to 100? No, we don't quite have that running around this year. But the talent level, the commitment, all the things that are needed to have success from on that part of the field is really there in our pitching staff. So we're really, really excited to watch this group this year.
And who are some of those guys that you expect to see significant contributions from? I know I was reading the notes on your website as far as Kyle Skidmore said he was your top reliever in 2021, 5-1, and had a save in 21 appearances, and he had the opportunity to do what a lot of college baseball players strive to do, and that's play up in Cape Cod over the summer.
Yeah, Kyle's definitely a big piece. He's tremendous. They call him the old man on the team. He's in his, I believe it's his sixth year of college baseball with the COVID and everything. He's finishing his master's degree, and he's an outstanding, forget about the numbers, just the leadership piece he brings every day, how he goes about his business, his work ethic. It's infectious amongst the group, and tremendous young man. I'll tell you an interesting piece about Kyle and the Cape. He had an opportunity to do that, which, you know, we all dream of, you know, having that opportunity. His father, his brother, and himself all played in the Cape, which I think is pretty cool. So that's an interesting fact about Kyle Skidmore.
Yeah, that is definitely very interesting. Unique opportunity for those gentlemen. And shift over and take us around the horn very quickly, you know, position by position. Let's start with your infield.
Yeah, we got a junior college transfer projected to play a good bit of third, Dagan Brady from Neosho in Kansas. We have Alex Ray at shortstop, who was the starting shortstop at Louisiana Tech last year. They hosted a regional. Super talented young man. A.J. Jones is a young man from Eastern North Carolina that was a role player for us last year that's going to step in and have some impact in our lineup going into the season. Also have a grad transfer in Alec Burns from West Virginia. Physical kid, hit 7 home runs for the Mountaineers last year. Think it's going to enhance our lineup. Pete Capobianco is a sophomore from Pennsylvania that can literally play any position. Every day probably could be catching, third, short, first. I mean, you could put this kid anywhere. He's going to be a staple in our lineup. Also have Trevor Masson. He's a Division III grad transfer from Pennsylvania via California. Swing the bat. He's also pretty versatile, probably going to be in a DH position, play some third, play some first. We've got a lot of versatility there, and just excited to watch that group play too.
What about out in the outfield? What do you return, or maybe what do you bring in that has a chance to be significant contributors?
Yeah, I think the leader in our outfield is Curtis Robeson. He's a grad transfer from Penn State. Everyday guy there. Was a young man I recruited out of high school. He's what now 4 or 5 years ago when I was at Lock Haven, and blessed that he's able to be here with us. Physical left-handed hitter, good athlete. He's going to be able to leave the yard. Excited about him. Benino Mendela is in his third year here, but a COVID sophomore. Role guy, was a pinch runner, defensive replacement. It's his time now to go out there and run around the field and put up some numbers. We're excited to see the things he can do as an everyday guy. Nate Anderson and Jacob Marcos are two young, not young guys. Nate's a redshirt freshman that's got a bright, bright future in our program. Jacob Marcos is a COVID junior, probably one of the fastest guys in the Big South. Can go get it as good as anybody I've ever coached. And those two guys are going to be manning down center field and complementing each other. And just a deep group that, I think that if anything happens to anybody, I think the next man up is going to be, a pretty special replacement.
You've obviously already referenced on several of these guys, but just on the whole, when you take a look at the numbers, you know, how many guys do you have coming in? How many new pieces to your roster?
There's a lot. It's funny. It's Coach Marks and I were speaking the other day about that last year we were playing. I forget, one of the series at the end of the year, and we're kind of looking out as the guys are getting ready before the inning started. And I said, Coach, nobody on that field's back next year. Do you know what I mean? So it's we position player wise, we've got a lot of new guys as far as it goes. Seems to be the trend in college baseball. I mean, there's a lot of transferring going on, a lot of different things. I think that, trying to, you know, you can replace pieces pretty quick nowadays. So to give you, I'll be honest with you, I really don't have the exact numbers off the top of my head. We had, you know, one place we did not speak about was behind the dish yet. But we do have a returner back there in Bo Ruscher from Salisbury, North Carolina. Third year guy, COVID sophomore, just a, you know, blue collar type kid. It's really, really developed and grown. And he's gonna do some good things this year too, so on the returning end. Most of our returners come on the mound.
And before we talk about your schedule and on that topic about the transfer portal, you know, exactly what are your thoughts there? You talk about bringing in a guy or two at least from that route this year. That's kind of a new phenomenon, being able to transfer within the Division I ranks. And normally you would have had to transfer down to play immediately, but that's no longer the case. You have that one-time transfer. Mm-hmm. So when you know a guy is going to be coming in probably for just one, maybe 2 years, talk about that dynamic and you know, deciding whether it's a fit for your program and so forth.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that, you know, Bubba, I think that every coach, if you interviewed 100 coaches, they're going to tell you different things. I think there's the side of the coach who will sit here and tell you that maybe that they lost three or four of their better players to the portal for whatever reason. So it's, you know, that they may not like it. You know, last year in the portal, in the transfer portal from the grad transfer route, we added a third round draft pick, an all-region designated hitter, you know, an everyday third baseman. I can go down the list here of some guys that came in and made an immediate impact. And also, too, Gardner Webb is an outstanding option for grad transfers. I mean, we have, you know, we've got the right majors in a lot of ways, and they're 10-month majors. And, you know, I think that I tell everybody this, a year is a long time. So, I mean, you know, it's when you look at the big picture, sometimes people say, well, you only get somebody for a year or two. And I go, you know, I don't know. We had a good run last year. And I think that run helped put our program in a better place than it was the year before. And if that can allow us to get in and, you know, as far as our brand, our marketability, our recruitment, everything that we do, I it's all a benefit in my view.
Coach, as always, you play a tremendous schedule. You know, you have the opportunity to host Jerry Bryson Classic there in Boiling Springs, and you have UVA out of the ACC coming in. Awesome opportunity. And then you have a series down at Georgia Tech, and then within the league, you get Campbell at home this year.
Yeah, the 22 slate's a good one. You know, definitely some marquee opponents, especially at home. I mean, what an outstanding opportunity to play Virginia opening weekend here in Boiling Springs. Also have Wake Forest coming to town in April. So outstanding there. Get to go ahead to North Carolina, head to South Carolina. Got a weekend trip to Georgia Tech, who is in every single preseason ranking anywhere, I believe, from 7 or 8 to, you know, 18, somewhere in that. You know, so they're going to be outstanding. So, again, we're you know, the goal for us is to win our first Big South championship in program history. For us to put ourselves in that position, we have to play the most challenging schedule as possible. And I believe that we've set forth the groundwork here to really have our young men battle tested when it comes, you know, late May when we're trying to compete for a championship.
And final thing for you is we wrap this up and just talk about some of the other things that, you know, recruits get excited about and when they visit campus and they make your ability to prepare, you know, a little bit easier and so forth. Talk about your facilities there at GW.
Sure. I think that the best thing a lot of times anybody watching is please go on social media and follow us, GW Baseball on Twitter and Instagram. We have an outstanding group that updates those things and we keep everything moving in the right direction. I mean, we just constantly recruiting is the lifeblood of our program. We want to showcase the things that we have. Just got brand new turf infield. It's amazing. There's an extra bounce in our player steps to, you know, in this preseason practice, being able to get out on that surface. Brand new bullpen that got finished 4 wide, 11 plyo stations. We're also covering that here in the next month. The training area where the plyo stations are. So we're going to be able to get some things done in inclement weather. Starting a huge fundraising phase for an indoor facility, 120 by 120, turf, 4 cages, the opportunity to have 4 lanes to pitch in, bullpen areas. So We got a lot of good things moving in the right direction. Couldn't happen without the support of the institution, our athletic administration, and just a vision from our coaching staff and to work at it day in and day out.
Well, Coach, you certainly had success wherever you've been, and definitely trending that way there in Bowling Springs, doing some unprecedented things within the Big South Conference. Congratulations to you and your staff, and we look forward to having you back on down the road.
No problem. Thank you, Bubba. And thanks for what you do for college baseball, especially in North Carolina.
Welcome to the Sports Objective and our NCD1 baseball preview. We appreciate everyone tuning in whenever and however you're watching or listening, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. Our show can also be found in audio-only or podcast form pretty much everywhere podcasts are found, including Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and Spotify. It's hard to believe, but we're only a month away, or a little under a month away, from the start of the college baseball season. And over the last couple of days, we've had a chance to talk to first-year High Point head coach Joey Hammond and Scott Friedholm of UNC Asheville. Today, we're staying within the Big South Conference as we're down in Buies Creek catching up with the eighth-year head coach of the Campbell Camels, Justin Hare. Good morning, Coach. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate you having me on, man. It's always a good time to catch up. When we get on, I know it's getting close to opening day and fired up to get rolling.
Absolutely. In addition to our annual conversation, obviously you have snow on the ground. I think a little more my way here in the greater Charlotte area, but that's something else that tells you baseball season is just around the corner, right?
Yeah, no doubt. We luckily avoided the snow thus far. We're rolling along okay, but coming up this weekend, you never know. You get to the end of January and beginning of February, it's like, all right, man, we got winter storm warnings, and we're trying to get practice scheduled and trying to get it all figured out. So
as we get rolling, before we dive into this year's club and a lot of expectations that you've built there in Buies Creek with that Campbell program, but going back to last season, 2021, you win the Big South, 37-18. What a tremendous year! If you would kind of put a bow on last season.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really interesting year. Obviously, as we're trying to get back and get rolling and navigate through COVID protocols and everybody having different COVID protocols and all kinds of different stuff like that. But was thankful to be able to play. We just like a lot of teams, I think, had some growing pains early, trying to figure out exactly who we were and what our identity as a club was. And then we got rolling and we're playing our best baseball down the stretch. I think, I think we finished before we got to a regional, I think we finished like 14-1 in the month of May, or 14-2 maybe in the month of May. So we're really playing well. Late, won the regular season. Lost in the conference tournament championship game to Presbyterian, and we're fortunate enough to get an at-large bid, our first at-large bid in school history, and a number three seed for the second year in a row, going to the Mississippi State Regional and lost in the regional finals, our second straight regional final, lost to Mississippi State 6-5 in the regional championship game. And obviously they went on to win the national championship. So just a really special group. I felt very thankful and very fortunate because we had a lot of COVID seniors that had a chance to really write their story and try to leave this program better than how they found it, that would have graduated and moved on after 2020. So for them to have that opportunity to come in and do something special in 2021 was really, really rewarding. And I was really thankful for those guys and their commitment to our program. And I feel like they certainly left it better than how they found it.
You talk about that regional down in Starkville. If you would, you know, tell our viewers and listeners about that atmosphere at the new Dude, as they call it, Duty Noble. What a tremendous venue for college baseball. And you could tell those Mississippi State fans when you took them to the brink in that game six of that regional, you know, that they were very obviously they were getting on you. That goes without saying. But at the same time, they were very respectful and, you know, from the standpoint of applauding the effort of the Camels and recognizing the type of program you have.
Yeah, the stadium is maybe the best, you know, best atmosphere that we've ever played in. And the stadium is really unreal. It's phenomenal facility. And we played in some good regionals in 14. We played at South Carolina when they were rolling. And 18, we played at Georgia. 19, we played at East Carolina. And then now in 21, we played and Mississippi State, and all were great facilities. All were really well put on regionals, but you know, at Mississippi State, it was a little bit different. You know, it had a different vibe to it. The stadiums, it is the Taj Mahal of college baseball. I would be hard pressed to find a place that is put together better than that place. Their fans were amazing. They latched onto our guys from night one. In all honesty, I don't know if it's just the style of play that we have or the type of players that we have in our program. They really latched on to the way we play. And you know, as we were playing VCU and we were playing Samford, we had lots of Mississippi State Bulldog fans that were cheering for the Camels, which was awesome. And then, you know, obviously they were very complimentary of our program. As they eliminated us, and it was funny because of the way that the regionals were structured last year with predetermined sites. Had we won that regional, we would have stayed at Mississippi State and played Notre Dame at Mississippi State. And I joke with our coaches that I feel like they still would have had 15,000 people there, but instead of maroon, they would have had orange and black on. I think we had won over their fan base in terms of our players just being genuine and being, you know, hard-nosed, and was a great experience for our guys. Obviously, we wish that we would have been able to punch through and come through that regional. But you know, especially for those 11 seniors that, you know, that came back and took advantage of that COVID year, what a tremendous experience for those guys and an opportunity to end their collegiate career on a high note.
You reference all that recent success. Last year was the first at large bid. And, you know, it may have been a case, you know, where in previous seasons, if you hadn't gotten an automatic bid, maybe you could have gotten an at large bid. But getting that first at large bid and, you know, the program accomplishing more first, just talk about going into this season. I know some polls, and I know coaches don't care about the polls other than the standpoint it means your program is on that right track and where you want it to be in the big scheme of things. But just talk about that. I know collegiate baseball has you 29th, and most people are expecting you to win the Big South once again.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think that there's programs out there that's a regular for them, and that's great. I think being in the top 30 going into the season, again, first time ever, I think in a major poll, is something that it's not necessarily a reflection of this year's team, though I think that we are very talented and have a chance to do some special things. I think it's a reflection of all the guys that have played here over the last 15 years. You know, I think when we got here in 2007, in the fall of 2007, you know, we had a dream and a hope and a vision to turn this program into something that that got respect on a national level. And you know, and so getting, you know, some recognition going into a season from a preseason standpoint, I think is just a culmination of a lot of hard work of a lot of people and a lot of dedication. And a lot of our alumni can be very, very proud of that because it's a reflection of the work that they put in. And I think that's a great reflection of where we are as a program. Now, that being said, you know, this 2021 group or 2022 group, as we get ready to kick off here in about 30 days, they know they're a different product than what we were last year, than what we've been the last however many years, and that they have a chance to write their own story. You know, I think that the standard of our play is not built on what preseason rankings look like or preseason expectations. The standard of our play and the way we conduct ourselves is built on the comparison of what we're capable of being. Are we capable of being another championship quality club? And if so, how are we carrying ourselves on a day-to-day basis? So we really try to stay focused on that very small, very specific standard of where are we today versus what is the best version of ourselves and how can we move a little bit closer to that? And I think when we can stay focused on that standard and comparing ourselves to that standard, regardless of what the national polls say, then we're going to put ourselves in a position to be there in the end.
You talk about this club being very talented. You return the preseason, or excuse me, the 2021 Big South Player of the Year and Big South Freshman of the Year. So talk about those young men and then some of the other leaders that really returned from a year ago.
Yeah, 2021 Big South Player of the Year, returning All-American Zach Netto, Cape Cod League All-Star this summer. Going to play shortstop for us most likely. We'll pitch a little bit for us as well. Exceptional talent. This is his third year in our program. He'll be a redshirt or a COVID sophomore, I should say. You know, obviously getting a lot of hype, but you know what people don't understand about Zach is that he's, you know, maybe one of the best teammates, you know, that we have, you know, just in terms of a guy that cares a lot about competing to win championships, not for personal glory, to a guy that loves being around his teammates and has a smile on his face all the time. Looking forward to him just having a great year and just having a bunch of fun and playing at a high level and, you know, setting the tone for our team. He loves competing, loves being around the guys. And when he's in that mode, that's when he starts to be dangerous. So looking forward to that. We got Tommy Harrington, Big South Freshman of the Year last year. He's actually a draft eligible sophomore coming into this year. He's been very good. Came out of the bullpen against Mississippi State in the regional finals and threw, I think, four or five innings and was really exceptional there. You know, looking for him to kind of anchor our staff. We got some really other really talented guys. Ryan Chassie is a fourth year junior. That's been a two-time all conference, was freshman of the year in the conference in 19. You know, he's been very good for us. Cade Keeler is a sophomore that's been up to 98. You know, we've got some guys that you know, Ty Cummings is a sophomore. Our sophomore class is very talented on the mound. He's a guy that came out of the bullpen for us a lot last year, and we'll be counted on to throw some big innings and big outs for us. You know, lineup wise, we've got our top three back. Bryce Arnold's a sophomore that started almost every day as DH last year as a freshman. He'll probably play third or second for us this year. Natural shortstop, Canadian kid, hit 325 and. Had a really, really good freshman year. And then Connor Denning is a fifth-year senior. Was really surprised he didn't go in the draft last year, hit 340 with, you know, 41 extra base hits, kind of switch hitter, played center field for us that, you know, sat in that two-hole all year and you know, just really solidified what we're doing. So, you know, we've got some talented guys. We've got some guys returning. We've got some fifth-year guys, a fifth-year catcher, a guy named Ty Babin that's played in three regionals, that's won a bunch of championships, that knows what it looks like and how to prepare to win at a high level. You know, so we got some guys like that I think maybe aren't the sexiest name or the highest profile names that will have a profound impact on our team. So looking forward to getting rolling with these guys and you know, trying to get into a groove and seeing what these guys are capable of doing.
You talked about a lot of excellent arms there, but just overall, you know, you get into a situation in a regional where you lose game one, obviously that's tough for anyone, but with the depth of a pitching staff, just talk going into the season, how do you feel about the depth of your staff?
Yeah, I mean, I think stuff-wise, this is probably the most depth that we've had as a staff. When we got beat in 2018 at the regional, we lost to Georgia, and then we lost to Duke. And Duke, we had a lead. We blew the lead late. We just kind of ran out of bullets on the mound, and we felt like for us to continue to build our program to where we needed to be, we needed to, you know, continue to develop arms at a high level and kind of get out on the cutting edge and have a concerted effort to continue to develop those guys. And I think if you come watch us play or you come watch us inter squad and we're running out guys with really good stuff, very good athletes and guys that have a chance to do some really special things on the mound, I think you'll see that you know, by design, you know, again, you can design a lot of things. It doesn't always work out the way you want, but by design, I think that if we're going to get to Omaha, we're going to get to Omaha on the backs of our arms. And our guys know that, our pitching staff understands that, you know, and so it's been really fun to watch those guys' development. And I think that, you know, we're going to be able to, you know, at least stuff wise, at least guys that have legitimate weekend type stuff, high leverage stuff, I think that we're going to be able to match up with quite a few people across the country on the mound.
And a moment ago, you also referenced some of the younger talent in the program. Now, who are some new guys onto the scene, be it freshmen or transfers, that have the opportunity to get on the field and be a significant contributor earlier on?
Yeah, I think, you know, on the offensive side of the board, you know, we've got a couple of you know, banger type guys, some middle of the order type guys, a guy named Logan Jordan that's a transfer from Iowa Western Community College, catcher, first baseman, DH type, big, strong, 6'4", 220, grew up as a hockey player in Minnesota, some real strength, just and really good feel for the barrel. So I think he's a guy that we're probably going to have to count on to fill some of those. You know, we lost 4, 5, 6 in our lineup from last year, all 5th and 6th year seniors that had a lot of production. You know, so we're going to have to replace some of that. We're going to have to find some guys to fill in the gaps there. Logan is one of those guys that we'll count on to do that. We got a transfer from Alabama, a catcher from Louisville, Kentucky named Grant Nipp. That's a really good player. Still a little bit raw, hasn't played in 2 springs, lost his senior year spring to COVID and then redshirt last year at Alabama. And so getting him back into the swing of things, he had a really solid fall. I think his best days are ahead of him. He's a redshirt freshman. But again, physical, you know, physical body guy, you know, which I think is a hallmark of our program in terms of our benchmark in our program in terms of middle of the order type guys having some physicality. And we've got a really talented freshman infielder named Dalen Thompson from right here, right up the road at Triton High School in Dunn, you know, 15 minutes up the road. Young man's got a lot of talent, got some tools. He's still very raw. You know, in terms of us having some freshmen that have come along and done some tremendous things for us, he's right in that, you know, he's right in that group like Bryce Arnold and Zach Meadow and some of those guys before him that have some talent that are going to need some seasoning. But man, the tools are there and he's an exciting player for us. And then, you know, on the mound, we've got, you know, a left-handed pitcher named Jordan Irizarry, that's from the Virginia Beach area, that's up to 92 or 93 with a plus changeup, going to have some pitchability. And, you know, and some fire about him and some competitive fire about him. Garrett Kangas is a bullpen option, sidearm type guy that's a super competitor and very interesting. You know, we've got, you know, some transfers kind of from all over the country. Left-handed pitcher named Trent Adams from South Mountain Community College in Arizona, 6'6" left-hander that's got a chance to match up and do some great things, and some wild cards that have big arms that if they figure some things out, man, they're going to have a chance to be big contributors. Guys like Cade Anderson and Landon Dorman that have been 94, 95 with plus stuff, you know, but are still figuring some things out, you know. And so I think finding the right situation for those guys to be in and be successful early and try to build some confidence is going to help us as we kind of move and navigate our way through the year.
Taking a look at your schedule, last year was a little unorthodox because of COVID and the way the Big South Conference elected to do things scheduling-wise, but this year more of a typical non-conference schedule, and you kick things off with a steadily improving App State program under Kermit Smith, but then, you know, you see programs like East Carolina, NC State, all those in-state powers, but then other programs. You have West Virginia coming to Perry Stadium. That has to be awesome, bringing a Big 12 club like Coach Mazie's in.
Yeah. You know, I think we, you know, Bubba, you know us, man. Like we're gonna play you. You know, we're gonna hook it up, and we're gonna try to put a really challenging schedule non-conference wise together. I think that's the only way that nationally we're able to earn some respect and put ourselves in a position to potentially, you know, get an at-large bid. And so, you know, bring Big Ten teams in like Maryland coming in and the Big 12, Big 12 teams like West Virginia coming in and going up to Scott Jackson at Liberty, playing a round robin with Ohio State and Pitt and Army down at the stadium in Fayetteville. Just, I think we've got eight Power Five home, you know, eight games at home versus Power Five teams. Half of those we probably are going back to. We got East Carolina and Wilmington. It's really fun. I think that people have some respect for our program in terms of the competitiveness of our guys. We have a very nice facility here, obviously with turf and video board and a nice little stadium where we want to continue to improve that and continue to grow that. But it's a nice place to come and play. We're going to take care of you. We're going to compete with you. You know, and so I think it's a good spot, to be able to challenge our guys and to be able to put our position, you know, put our program in a position to be in the mix RPI and strength of schedule wise at the end of the year.
And last thing I have for you, Coach, you talk about the steadily improving facilities there at Campbell. I saw this year on your website just a few minutes ago that at Perry Stadium, party decks are being offered.
Yeah. Just, you know, again, trying to create atmosphere. You know, the last two regionals we've been to in 2019 was at East Carolina, and they've got the jungle and they got a lot of people out there that are enjoying themselves and having a good time and are big time college baseball fans. And then we go to Mississippi State and they've got the left field lounge and they've got, you know, basically box seats all the way around the outfield fence where, again, people are able to come and tailgate and grill out their own food and have a good time and enjoy themselves and want to come back. And we want to create that atmosphere here. So we've built a couple of party decks out in left field. We've built a berm out in right field where people are going to be able to have access to the stadium 2 hours before game time and bring in their own grills and tents and chairs and enjoy themselves and have a good time and make it be more of an experience than just, hey, let's come watch a baseball game. Like, come watch a baseball game, play cornhole, enjoy yourselves, bring your family, bring your friends, have a great time and come back and let's do it again. And let's see if we can start to, you know, start to build an experience for our fans and for maybe people that haven't been here before. And so I think that's an exciting piece for us as we continue to try to grow our program and try to become a destination place for student athletes and for fans and stuff across the country is we're trying to build it the right way. And we're certainly trying to give people the experience and the good time that they can get at other places.
Coach, with the season just around the corner, we really appreciate you
making some time for us this morning, as always. And best of luck to you and the Camels throughout 2022. And I know we'll be having you on the show throughout the season.
Appreciate it, Bubba. I feel like, you know, sometime before that first midweek game, you might be calling me up again. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know why. It always seems that that time of year, right before that first Tuesday or Wednesday, I get a call from you. So it's always a great time to jump on, and really appreciate you reaching out, and happy to jump on anytime with you.
Absolutely. I'd say you're correct in that. And and I'm just glad it's back on the schedule. It seemed so weird last year, you know, going through those midweeks and Campbell, as well as some other opponents, not being on there.
Yeah, it was a different year. I think we're all glad to kind of be back to a normal schedule and trying to figure out this deal as we go along. I think if we're not better educated by now, 2 years in, on how to handle and manage this, then we're doing all of ourselves a disservice. So glad that we're getting the opportunity to do it, and looking forward to the challenges ahead.
All right. Thanks again, Coach.
Thanks, Bubba.